Okay, this is part two of the audiobook because I want the files to be small enough to where you can burn them on CD pretty easily. The last one I think was it's about an hour 20 minutes long. Now the next chapter we have is chapter three here. But before we go into that, I want to cover the mistakes real estate investors make. I'm going to cover the biggest mistakes they make, the biggest oversights that happen, and with the final chapter in this audiobook. But also with the standard, I want to point out, and I know that I'm going a little quick here, but I'm trying to get the most amount of information I can in the smallest amount of time. And you can go back and listen to this as many times as you want to your heart's content. But when I was talking about the standard, that is just powerful stuff because you're identifying what distinguishes you from anybody else. The USPs, the unique selling propositions, the unique selling prospects about your business, what makes you different, and you're making that part of the standard by honing in on all the benefits they can get. You're using resources that you have to solve their problem, how they're unique to you, and then you're pointing that out, you're conveying that to them, to anybody you're working with. This works in any business you're dealing with. Okay, you want to create the standard. So I want to point that stuff out again and make sure you understand that the value that it really changes the way you do business and what you can make happen. Okay, so let's move on to chapter three. Chapter three, the only smart way to use the internet and why nobody else is doing it right. Right now you're going to learn the biggest myth surrounding the internet. Right now, you're going to learn the biggest myth surrounding internet marketing, a myth that has cost millions of people billions of dollars. In this chapter, you will see the smart way to build your business and the secret to harnessing the power of the internet and making the internet work for you, all on a shoestring budget. Okay, so let's get started. First of all, with the internet, there's a few myths that surround the internet. The biggest one is internet marketing itself, the existence of internet marketing. There is no such thing as internet marketing. I will say that again. There is no such thing as internet marketing. You can ask any real, true marketing guru that, and they will give you the same answer. Anybody that knows anything about marketing knows that there is no such thing as internet marketing. All the internet is a new medium. Okay? It's the same type of marketing. If you play basketball in a court outside or in the Coliseum in Rome, it's still basketball. Okay, and that's all the internet has done is it's given us marketers a new medium. It's given marketers a new medium to market their products, to sell their products, and a new form of delivery, but it's all the same. Marketing is marketing. There's no such thing as internet marketing. Okay? It's important that you realize that and that you understand that marketing in general is what you need to focus on, and then how to integrate that with the internet to create what, quote unquote, internet marketing. Now, I can't count how many times I come across an investor sends me to some site, and the site is just very ugly, and maybe it's not. Sometimes they're really flashy sites too, but they're useless and it's a complete waste of money. The cheapest way to get a website, I believe, is to go to GoDaddy.com. That's like $9 a year or something like that. They also provide web hosting, and that's you can get your site there for less than $1 a day, get it hosted there. But with the internet, all internet marketing, all you're going to do with your website, all your website should be is a sales letter. Okay, it's got to be now. Like I said, I've explained the marketing before using the different words, but the most important part about your website is the letter. You want it to be very solid. You want it to convey a specific message. Okay, a specific message. Now, this is also how we're going to integrate your standard that you've created in as well. What you want to do, and you can check out a website that I'm constantly tweaking and modifying. It's at whosyourhomehelpers.com. HOSIERHOMEHELPERS.com. HoosierHomeHelpers.com, and I'm working with some other investors on that side as well. And it's kind of under developing, and we're always testing different things. But that site will give you a good idea of how you want your site to look. You want there to be a solid headline, okay? A subheadline, and then focus on the person who's there. Don't focus on your business, how long you've been in business, and what you plan to do, and how you're going. No, none of that matters. All that matters, remember, rapport is developed through necessity. You need to explain to them why they need you. Okay? So you want to start out with a solid headline, a gripping headline, how to sell your home in 9 days flat guaranteed, or 7 ways to sell your home in 9 days. Okay? You can also use testimonials from people that you've used on the site, but if you're just starting out, you won't have any. So you just want to refer to the fact that the things you want to include on your website, okay, first of all, is the headline, a solid, compelling offer. Okay. Now you can use a form. If you want to use a form, you can go to Microsoft front page to develop a form that'll be emailed to you. Or if you're looking for a programmer, if you're a little more savvy, you're looking for a programmer to put a more involved form on there where people can fill out their information. You can go to a rentacoder.com if you don't already have somebody. Rentacoder.com, they've got coders on there for pretty cheap. What you have to watch out for there is the coders that are overseas that are not going to do it right, but you can find that out pretty easily. So you can go to rentacoder.com and hire a web programmer there that's going to put up your put up the forms there. But what you want is essentially a headline, compelling benefits throughout the letter that explain why they need to work with you. But you also want to include the standard that you've created. So on your website, immediately, right above or right beneath or somewhere in the initial copy or near the headline, you want to put the fact, Jack's List, the underground source, the new standard for real estate in Boston, or the new standard for real estate in 9 states, in Boston and 7 other states or whatever, and include, 19 realtors. 14 brokers, 97 buyers, etc., etc., how many sellers and how many homes you have available right now, so that anybody that visits your website immediately knows that you are the standard in real estate, okay? And you can put that, never buy real estate from somebody unless, or never buy and sell real estate from somebody unless they've got a personal list of 14 investors or the 14 lenders, liberal lenders. They've got 7 to 10 day programs. They're able to move your home quickly. They know why 88% of homes listed for sale by owner don't sell. Or they know why the only two ways to get full market value for your home, et cetera, et cetera. You create that standard there and you make sure that's available on your website. Okay? So on your website, you want to have a solid headline. Okay, you can look at the HoosierHomeHelpers.com site there. You want to have a headline, subheadline. You want to have, and it doesn't need to be very long. You want this letter to be very short. But you want to include the fact that you have a standard. Include all the resources you have. So when somebody visits your website, they know why they'd be stupid not to work with you. And you can even put that as a subheadline, why you would be absolutely crazy not to work with us, or not to work with me. Now, another thing is a lot of people have some company name. It's they talk about how great this company is, this LLC that you create to invest in real estate. No, that doesn't work. It's personalized. You want to put you on there. For example, I put my name on everything I sell. I put my name, my personal number on most of the stuff that I sell. And by the way, my direct line is on a lot of websites. I put my direct line. That actually, I may or may not answer that, but if I don't answer that, I'm not around. Or I'm on the phone, it goes straight to my voicemail. But what you want to do with your website is you want to create the standard. Like I said, you want to convey the standard, but you want to have a solid headline, benefits, you want to keep it short, and you want to keep it to the point. What are they going to get from working with you? Okay? That is the main thing to convey when you're working with anybody. What are they going to get from working with you? Okay, now, with your website, when you put a website up, it's not as simple as putting a website up and then going to paying somebody. Or whenever you deal with whenever you have your hosting provider who's going to keep your website up, like I said, you can go to GoDaddy, buy a domain, jackslist.com or whatever, and then you can upload, you can use Microsoft Front Page. The teaching how to build a website is kind of outside the scope of this program, but you put up your website. What you want to do then is you want to have you need to have traffic driven to their website. But what you want to understand, again, like I said, is the internet, your website, is simply a tool. Okay, your entire business will not revolve around the internet. Okay, you don't want that to happen. But you can. The only way you're going to be able to have that is if you have traffic coming to your website, which I'm going to cover in a second. But very few people, I visit very few sites. I don't think I've ever seen there's a couple of investors who have a decent site up, but they don't convey the standard because they just don't understand that. That is what's going to set you apart from anybody else. When you talk to somebody, and on the bottom of your paperwork, I've included the paperwork in Word format so that you can modify it any way you want, you can put the website address. And on that website, all that's going to do is basically let them know that you know what you're talking about, that they would be crazy not to work with you. Okay? That's essentially all the website does. So, and there's a tangible difference. When you talk to somebody for the first time, they don't know who you are, and you kind of create the standard or whatever, you tell them your website. When people ask for a company name or I'll come by your office, you can say, well, I'll send you an email that'll explain everything. And that email, like I said, will have a link to the website where you can tell them the website on its own. It has the headline, it creates a standard there, it conveys the standard. The next time you talk to that person, your objections are going to be minimized, if not just completely eliminated. Okay, because they're going to know that they need to work with you. Because at that point, the dynamic of the conversation has changed to you're not trying to make them happy. You don't need them. They need you. They need you. They want to make you happy. Okay? So, on your website, if you want to drive traffic to your website, like I said, you can tell people about it, but that's just going to be used as a tool so that they understand what you've done and the standard you've created. But also, another way to do, the simplest way to drive traffic to your website is to go through what's called pay-per-click. Because you can try to drive your when somebody goes to Google or Yahoo, you can have, and they type in real estate investing or real estate selling your home or whatever they type in. You can have your home listed for free at the top, but that's gonna that there's a whole algorithm you have to put in place and links, and there's a whole industry dedicated to search engine optimization or what's called SEO, and that is gonna be at, you don't really want to focus too much on that. But when you can do what's called pay per click. You can go to a site like Google.com or AdWords.com, which is GoogleAdWords.com, and basically, or Google AdWords, is that those are the links on the right-hand side when you go to Google and you type something in, and it's pay-per-click. Those people are paying per click. They may have to pay $1, $2, $3 per click, which, if you add that up, that's a lot of money. That's why Google is worth several billion dollars. Now, on top of that, if you're taking like I said, you're taking the property, or you're taking your home, your website, and you want it listed there, or if you go to, you know, Overture.com, which Overture sells clicks to Yahoo, and you're trying to get pay-per-click, what you want to do, you have a choice when you sign up for pay-per-click. You can type in selling your home, or real estate, or something like that, and then you have a choice to make it specific to the geographical area. Especially in Google, it has a lot more options than Overture does. But you can go to Google and you can type in, and like I said, this creating a website and whatnot is going to be kind of outside the scope of this. But if you do and you want to drive traffic to your website aside from traffic you tell people about, or from a business card or something like that, on your when you go to pay per click, you can basically pay per click for anyone that types in, anyone in Indianapolis that types in, or anyone in Boston, or anyone in Ohio that types in selling your home, or how to sell your home, or real estate, something like that, or real estate investing, and your website will be at the top. You can pay to get to the top. Let's say you pay $1 per click. If you get 100 clicks, that's $100. Okay. Now that you can log into those Google accounts and constantly check, and the Overture accounts and check, and make sure that your website, or see how much you're spending. But I would strongly suggest that you not do that until you know what you're doing, until you've got a solid way of analyzing deals. Okay? Now, what you want to do, like I said, this is internet marketing. There's no such thing as internet marketing. The way to set up your website, like I said, you set it up with this standard, and it creates the headlines, how to sell your home in 10 days, or you can model it after the Hoosier Home Helpers. There's different ways to get that done using the same things that you use in ads and the same headlines there to create your website. But what you want to have, and I've explained this many times before, but you want to have a group, everyone that you've ever talked to, anybody that you ever come across, you want to get their email address. If they don't have an email address, you can tell them to get one, to go create one. They're free now. They can get one within a couple hours. Now, you can tell if it's a buyer. It's usually going to be a buyer. Most sellers, if you have a home, they normally have an email address and usually a computer. But if they don't, if you come across a buyer and says, I don't have email, you could say, well, if you knew that you could save $10,000, or if you knew that you could move into a home in the next 7 to 10 days, would it be worth it to go get a free email address? And almost always they'll say yes, and they get an email address. And then you get their email address. You want to keep a list of people, a list of everyone that you talk to, a list of people. That database, that is gold right there. My database is worth millions. The people, for example, that buy my $97 or $500 or $300, whatever product they buy from me, keeping a list of those people is gold, because they know me, they know how I work, and they want to work with me. Okay, that's the whole point of me offering the programs for so cheap, because I know that they're going to see the value of working with me, and they're going to want to spend more money with me. They're going to want to invest more money learning more from me, because they know that it's going to mean a fortune to them. Okay, it's the same thing you want to do with your business. You want to create a list of everybody you talk to. Okay, everybody you talk to, and the way we're going to use the internet with this is we're going to use it through emails. Now, I've already explained the group mail program, how you want to go buy that group mail program. It's $100, or you can just use the free one for now. The free one will allow you to go up to, I think, 100, and the one that you pay $100 for was unlimited. So, and the numbers may have changed, but they won't be too far off from what I just said. So you buy that group mail program, you put everybody's email into that program, and then you constantly send them out a list of emails. Okay, the number one thing you want from anybody that comes to your website is a series of emails. You go to websites all across the internet, they offer a free report. That's why they offer a free report. You can give anybody a free report, but you're basically looking for their email so that you can work with them later on. So, in summing that up, your website should not talk about you. Model it after the HoosierHomeHelpers.com. You can go there, check it out. You want to have a solid headline. The most important thing with your website is that you mention the standard. When somebody goes to your website, when they get off the website, they should know it's in their absolute vital best interest to work with you. That's the most important thing. That's why I mentioned creating the standard as the first chapter in this book. That is such a powerful way. It totally changes the way you're doing business. I don't care what business you're in, what you're selling. It is going to change the way you do business by creating the standard. And that's what your website should be focused on. The fact that you have created the standard in your area or in the 9 areas that you're in, the 8 areas, 7 areas, 3 areas, whatever. And this is also what's going to enable you to buy and sell real estate outside of your area, creating the standard. You can go to any realtor in any area, immediately find a buyer in another area or a seller in another area, and immediately you tell the realtor, you tell your rep, remember I called it a rep in chapter or lesson 7 in the second book there, you can tell the person, you know, look, this is what I did in this area. You know, my realtor makes about $20,000 a month off of the business I send him, or $10,000 a week, or last month he made $17,000 or just $5,000 on the business I sent him. And I'm looking for the same realtor in your area. Okay, and even if you don't say it like that, you could say, look, I'm going to send you 5 realtors, or the buyers I come across that qualify, I'm going to send to you immediately. Okay, and by creating that standard already in one area, it's going to allow you to create the standard in other areas. And this is all what needs to be on your website. That's the smartest way to use the internet is right there to create the standard. But you want to, anytime you put a website up, it's a letter and it's very focused and specific. It's not pretty. You don't need to make it pretty. And I would not put graphics and images on your website. If you do put them at the bottom. Because if you put them at the top, it's going to take a while for those things to load. And you create the headline and you go down. The guys that I work with, there's maybe a handful of people in America that make more money on the internet than they do, that make more money marketing than they do. And I really mean that. And I've learned directly from the best. And that is exactly how you do it. You create a headline, and you create a compelling headline, show them how you've created the standard, and then a prompt call to action. Tell them exactly what to do. Fill out a form. Call me directly. Okay? Does that make sense? All right, and also the free report you can put on your website. You can put the, you know, you can use a mistakes type of a form. You could say, you know, you can use, or I'm sorry, you can use the standard there. You can say, never buy a home unless ... You know, click here to get an email to tell you, you know, the, you know, a huge, you know, why you, what you need to know before you buy a home, or what you need to know before you buy or sell a home. What you need to know. And then in that email can include the standard there. Never buy and sell a home unless, and you create the standard there. By the way, if you check my website out, I use this quite a bit. I always tell people, never buy, you know, never buy a mentor program, never buy real estate unless you're buying from the person that invented the system. And I truly mean that. I truly mean, if you want to get started in real estate, if you want to make money in real estate, there is nobody out there that is better to, I truly believe that you will not find more information and more useful, you'll not be able to make more useful, hard-hitting, money-making, mind-blowing information than from anybody else out there. And I constantly hear that from everybody I deal with. You are probably thinking that right now. If you're not, I don't know what the hell is wrong with you. I'm just joking. But if that is what I hear more than anything. You know, this was the most amazing thing I've ever come across. And I just had an event last week, a buying event, where we had 30 students put together 55 deals in one day. That's over a deal a person if you're bad at math. And everyone said, you know, I've never seen anything like this. That's what I have created the standard with this real estate program, buying and selling real estate without leaving your house, being able to do it quickly, automatically, and getting these deals done, put together in hours. And that is what I strive for. It's the same thing on my website. I say never buy real estate from somebody unless, never invest in real estate unless you know how to do it without leaving your house. Okay, so when you use your website, remember headlines, standard. Also, you want to make sure that it's focused on the message, which is you have created the standard, and it's focused on them, basically, the standard, because your standard is focused on the benefits that these people get with working with you. All right, makes sense? We've got to move on here. I'm chapter 4? Yeah, chapter 4. Finally, FSBO techniques that work without you having to cold call anybody. I had to throw this chapter in the program altogether. Too many people are wasting their time with archaic techniques and strategies that never made anybody any real money. What you will learn in this chapter with FSBOs for sale by owners, we'll have FSBOs for sale by owners calling you and begging you to work with them. No more cold calling FSBOs and getting rejected more than Bill Gates at his high school prom. All right, this section is for sale by owner people. Let's go over some. First of all, here are the numbers that you need to know if you're going to deal with for sale by owner people. On average, these are nationwide numbers, 88% of for sale by owner people don't end up selling their home. They end up listing with the realtor anyway. So 88% of for sale by owners end up listing with a realtor, right? We know that right off the bat. 88% of for sale by owners end up listing with a realtor. Now, they usually do this after 2 to 3 months of trying to sell it on their own. That means that on average, the mortgage payment's between 1% and 2%. So let's say 1%. So 1% mortgage payment, 2 to 3 months, that's 2 to 3% they've lost immediately. Okay? Now they've listed with the realtor, and the realtor is going to charge them between 5 to 7%. Let's just say 6 to be safe. So 6% the realtor charges them. On top of that, they've lost between 2 to 3%. So already they're at 8 to 9% that they're losing if they sell it. Now the realtor, if it's good, quote-unquote realtor, if it's a good realtor, is going to sell it between 2 to 3 months. Okay, that's another 2 to 3%. So from 8 to 9%, add 2 to 3 of that, we're at 10 to 11% that they're losing on the value of their home. Okay? On top of that, homes normally sell between 98 to 99% of the asking price. So 1 to 2%. So we're already at 10, 11. That's 12 to 13%. Okay? I'm sorry, 11 to 12%. 11 to 12% that they've lost. On top of that, they have 2 to 3% in closing costs. Okay? 2 to 3% in closing costs. So now we're at 13 to 15% of the price of the home that the seller is losing. Okay? This is what a for sale by owner will lose. On average, 13 to 15% of the value of the home. And that's if the home sells. Okay? If the home sells. Does that make sense? Right there immediately, in that 2 minutes, if you explain any for sale by owner those numbers, you are telling them more about their problem than they know. Okay? Now, let's look at the homes that do sell with the realtor and how those sell. Realtors, the homes that the realtor normally sell, this is how they sell. In the first 30 days, it's about 20 to 25% of homes sell. In the second and third 30 days, about 10% sell. In the fourth 30 days, that number goes to between 22 to 28% of homes. So in the first 30 days, the homes listed with the realtor, about 20 to 25% sell. The second and third 30 days, about 10% sell. In the fourth 30 days, that number goes to between 22 to 28%. Now, why does it jump up in the fourth 30-day section? Because after 90 days, people normally lower their price. Now, when homes sell, like I said, they sell between 98, 99, about 97 to 99% of the asking price. So what that tells us is that if the home is priced right, it's going to sell fast, and it's going to sell pretty close to the asking price. But if it's not priced right, it's not going to sell at all. Okay? Now, realtors do not know these numbers. How do I know that? Because on average, 1/3 of all homes listed with the realtor do not sell. 1/3. That means 1 out of every 3 homes you see listed with the realtor do not sell. Okay? Now, why don't they sell? That means they go what's called an expired listing. That means they're listed for 6 months and they don't sell. Why don't they sell? If any home does not sell, whether it's listed with the realtor or not, the reason it will not sell is for 1 of 3 reasons. Either the price, the marketing, or the condition. Okay? If the price is right, then it's a marketing or condition problem because nobody knows about it. I'm usually a marketing problem. If the condition is a problem, that's not necessarily going to... then that means the price is too high. But the condition, doesn't matter how trashed up a place is, doesn't matter where, everyone says location, 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 that's true too. But not necessarily, that more importantly is the price. Because no matter how banged up a property is, and no matter how bad the marketing is, as long as it's on the MLS, then the price will sell it. So, the ultimate variable there, the biggest variable there is the price. If you lower the price enough, the home will sell. Okay? No matter where it is, no matter how bad a shape it is, no matter how bad shape it's in, if the home is listed at the right price, it will sell. And that's how these bubbles pop. A lot of these bubbles pop. This is one big factor there, because if the price starts going down, people aren't as motivated. Now people have to lower the price. They have to lower the price to whatever it takes to sell the home. So if somebody needs to sell really quickly, they lower the price from, $300,000 to $200,000 all of a sudden. Now all of a sudden all the homes on that street are worth $200,000. Okay? Or at least that's what they're going to have to go for, because nobody's going to want to pay $300,000 for a home. And then it happens 10, 15 homes, the whole area goes down, and that's how these bubbles pop. That's not, there's other things involved, but that is one element involved there. Okay? So, homes listed with the realtor, and realtors do not understand these numbers, like I said, because 1/3 of homes all go expired. If they understood these numbers, that number would not be that high. 1/3 of all homes. That's an amazing number. Now, for sale by owners, I explained the 88% of them, where those go. What about those 12%? Does that mean the 12% of for sale by owners end up selling their home? No. About half of that, or 5 to 6% of for sale buyers, end up leasing their property, doing a lease option or something like that, where they don't sell their home the way they had wanted to. Okay? Now the rest of them do. So that means that out of every 100 for sale by owners, about 5 to 6 of them end up keeping their home. Okay? Now, what do those numbers mean? You probably want to go back and make sure that you've got those numbers and memorize that you understand the principles behind them when you're explaining it to a for sale by owner. The best way to get in touch with for sale by owners is to what? To let them know about your standard. That's right. You're catching on. The way to... excuse me. The way to do that is to go to websites. It's the quickest way to do it, because you can call for sale by owners up, but that is such an antiquated system. And I would suggest calling for sale by owners up, by the way, because I've done it. I've made money doing it. I've made a lot of money doing it, but I would not. This is when I was starting out, and I would not. Most people don't have the stomach for that. But if you are really desperate, want to get cash immediately, go call them up, hound them, get on the for sale by owner people. But when you do talk to them, do what nobody else does. Okay, mention the standard. Okay, let me explain how to make money with these guys. For sale by owner people, go to a for sale by owner website such as assisttosell.com, assist2sell.com. Set up an email program. Send them out a series of emails, same information we kept on those seller emails and the landlord and realtor emails. You know, I've got a list of 700 or I've got a list of 200 buyers. 17 of them are pre-approved. They're looking for homes in your area. I can help you right now. If your payments are too high, I can help. If you have no equity, I can help. It doesn't matter. Give me a call. The best thing is it takes 8 minutes to find out what I can do for you, and it's free. Name, okay? Very short, very to the point. And what are you doing? You're explaining that you have properties for that. You have buyers to get in those homes. Okay. Now, also, you put that in the first email. The second and third email, you create the standard. You point out that you have the standard. Make sense? You let them know, look, I don't know how you're selling your home. Looks like, you know, 88% of, or you could say, I would never work with anybody unless they know why 88% of homes don't sell, or why 1/3 of homes, that's where the realtor don't sell, or the three reasons why your home's not selling. Something like that. Okay, you're creating the standard. Okay. Now you want to put these people on an automatic email list. You can write out 5 emails, put them in an autoresponder program, and just send them out to them. Or you can go to websites. This is the quickest way to do it, or the best. It's not the quickest way, but you go to websites like assisttosell.com. You can if you go to for sale by owner websites anywhere, you can type in your area. Go to Google or Yahoo or Overture. Type that in and find for sale by owner websites where the email is listed. Copy and paste those emails into a notepad document. Okay, copy and paste those emails into a notepad document. Once you copy and paste those emails, because you're just pasting the email address in there or their first name and email address, then you put that, you separate them by commas, which is called comma delimited, if you put the first name. You can just when you're starting out, just put the email. You put the email addresses in this notepad document. So let's say you get 100 emails from for sale by owner people. Then you import that list. It'd have to be less than 100 or no more than 100 if you're using the free group mail program. You put it into the group mail program, and then you send them out these emails to everybody. Okay? You point out that you have the first you point out that I've got, you say, hi, this is Jack. I've got 14 buyers looking for homes in your area. I've got 97 buyers, 14 of them are pre-approved looking for homes in your area. If you have no equity, I just explained what the letter can read. And it's the same letter as the same type of letters you've got there in the books. Now what you're doing is you're creating the standard. Okay, you're letting them know that you've got 14 buyers, etc., etc., automatically, because now if they need somebody to help, they're going to call you and they know that you've got something they need. Now, essentially, they need you. Okay? Also, you can send them out and say, you know, you're also going to be subscribed to Osmond's List or Jack's List, which is the underground source for deals in Boston. We've got 114 homes no qualified, 19 realtors, 17 buyers looking for homes in your area, etc., etc. Okay? That's the way to make money with for sale by owner people. That's the way to market to these people, because then you're never going to talk to them. You're never going to call them. The only time you're going to talk to them on the phone is when they want to work with you, or if they're very irritated and they call you up. But all you have to do is say, you know, if you want to stop hearing from me, just reply and say remove or something like that. But you put your number at the bottom of these emails, okay, so they can call you anytime they need your help. Now, suddenly when they call you, the dynamic is totally different. You're not cold calling them, number one. They're calling you. That immediately changes everything. On top of that, they know that you have what they want. Okay, they need you. It's changing the entire conversation now. Does that make sense? You're changing the dynamic because now they need you, and they know that. Make sense? Okay, now, for sale by owners, a lot of them will do what's called co-op, which means they'll pay half the realtor's commission. So let's say the realtor in your area charged 7%, and a realtor, and then somebody goes up and sells and lists their home for sale by owner. They don't want to pay that 7%. The main reason why people go for sale by owner is so that they don't have to pay the realtor's fees. It's not like we are living in a society where people just want a challenge. They're trying to save money. They don't want to pay that 7%, that 5 to 7%. Let's say it's 7% in your area. Or let's just say 6. That was the initial projection. 6% in your area. That means if it's a $100,000 home, the realtors would make $6,000 on that sale. But since it's a for sale by owner, they're not going to pay 6%. They don't want to pay the realtor's fees. But a lot of times for sale by owners will do this. They'll say, I'm listing my home. Now, if a realtor brings us a buyer, we will pay them 3%. Because that's how realtors are paid. They split the commission. So there's a listing agent who has the home for sale, and it's usually a buying agent. The buyer's agent brings the buyer, and they split the commission. So if a realtor has a home listed, if somebody goes to a realtor and says, sell my house, the realtor says, okay, I'll list it. That's whose sign is in the yard. That realtor lists a home. They charge, let's say, 7%. Okay, so the home is worth $100,000. The seller is going to pay $7,000. Okay, now the realtor whose sign is in the yard will get half of that, $3,500, $3,500. The realtor who brings the buyer will get the other $3,500. Make sense? Now, depending on, there's different ways that that money is cut up among the between the realtor and the company they work for, but that doesn't matter to you. So, the realtor is going to get $3,500. Or the realtor would get $7,000. The seller's now saying, if it's a for sale by owner, a lot of times they'll say, we're not going to pay the $7,000, or in this case, it was 6%, I'm sorry. We're not going to pay the $6,000, but we will pay a buyer's agent if they bring us a buyer. We'll pay them their commission anyway. So the realtor will make no less money by bringing a buyer to a for sale by owner person. So their incentive is not decreased at all. And this is the reason a seller does this, is to increase realtor's marketing of the property. Not that they're doing a lot of marketing, but that they will mention it to their buyers, so that they can increase the number of buyers they get. Now, knowing that, you can just call up a for sale by owner. Every for sale by owner will know that. You can say, will you do a co-op? And most of them will say yes, which means they're willing to pay half of a realtor's commission. Now, once you know that, you know immediately that you can get paid, because they don't care who they're paying it to. If you bring them a buyer, you can get paid. So you can go to your pre-approved buyers that are working with your realtor, or your pre-approved buyers that you're working with, or the pre-approved buyers that your lender's working with, whoever, whenever you have these buyers, and put them in that house, and you'll make 3%. You'll make half the realtor's commission. You'll make the same amount you would if you were a realtor and you brought the person to the deal. Now, since you don't have an agent, you're not going to call it a real estate commission. You can call it a marketing fee, okay? Or you can just call it a fee that you're charging them, just a fee. Make sense? That's how you make money with for sale by owners. You have them call you. Now, when they call you, like I said, you don't want to present. That's a worst case scenario. You send them a buyer, and then you just get your flat percent. You could say, well, what are you trying to accomplish? I've gone over the conversations too much to go over them right now. You want to know, what are they trying to accomplish? What are they trying to do? Why are they selling? You want to see if you can work out a terms deal or a cash deal. Terms deal means that it has to be over time with payments. Cash deal has to be substantially discounted. Make sense? All right, those are the for sale by owner secrets that you need to know. These numbers, very rarely are you going to find many people that understand these numbers and why they are the way that they are. All right. That was chapter 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. You're right, chapter 4. Let's move on to chapter 5. Chapter 5. How to pick up a home every single day, what to say and what to do. If you aren't picking up a home a day, then you are really, I've got some bad grammar. If you aren't picking up a home a day, then you really need to go through this chapter with a fine-tooth comb. In this chapter, I'll put some amazing pieces of the puzzle together and show you how to make a fortune by quickly and easily putting deals together in hours. The number one thing to realize here is that you want to put deals together systematically. You want to put these deals together quickly and easily. That's why I said you don't want to get loans on these properties. You don't want to mess with that at all. All right, you want to find the pressure points. You want to have strategic relationships in place and relationships based on necessity, which are based on profitability, okay? So the necessity here comes from the profitability of the relationship. You have people that you're working with that are making money working with you, making money from you, and they have, it's in their best interest to keep you happy. Okay? You want to pick up homes left and right. The number one thing here is do not fumble around with paperwork. Don't get verifications. Don't pull up comps. Don't do any of that stuff. Write an offer up. Write it up immediately. What's the worst that could happen? Let's say people always say, what if the seller's lying to me? Well, let's walk down that process. Let's walk down that avenue, that possibility. Let's say your seller's lying to you. Let's say it's the seller says the property's worth $80,000. It's in great shape, and they want to do terms. They want to do they just want to get out. It's worth $80,000. They owe $79,800 or $78,000. They just want to walk away, and it's in perfect shape. Why do you need to see the property? Why do you need to pull up comps? You don't. That's the pressure point here. Tell them, all right, I'll send you over the paperwork right now. Send it over to them. Set up an appointment. Use the same techniques I talked about in the book. Set an appointment when you can go over it with them and their spouse or whoever the other decision maker is, and get it signed immediately. Okay? Then you get a sign in the yard, and you get a lockbox to the property. You get access to the property. Immediately move it. Now, what's going to happen? What's the worst thing that could happen here? You send a buyer over there, and when they come back, they say, look, that was not going to work. Okay, that property is a complete dump. It's destroyed. And I can't believe that they're asking $80,000 for it. Okay? Now what do you do? You go back to your seller. First thing you want to do with your buyer is say, well, what would make sense for you? I'm sorry about that. I just told you what I was told. But what would make sense for you? You want to get a counteroffer from your buyer or investor. Find out what would make sense to them. If they say, well, I'm not going to pay more than $20,000 or $30,000 for this place. Okay, then you go back to your seller. Now, at this point, instead of haggling with them on price before you even have an offer, now you've got a solid offer in place, and you're counteroffering. And now, before you mention the offer, you want to tell the seller, look, you know, it looks like you were dishonest. You missed a few things. Now, maybe they weren't dishonest. Maybe they really didn't know. A lot of times, the seller won't know. And if they don't know, that's an honest mistake. If they do know and they were lying to you, that's going to be a problem. But usually it's going to be that they didn't know about it. But you tell them, look, what you told me wasn't accurate. There's some issues here. I don't know if you knew about it or not. And just the fact that you're going to present the situation like that and you're going to say, look, these things aren't right, these aren't accurate, there's some, you know, discrepancies here, immediately is going to change their tone, because now they know that you did what you said you were going to do, that you are the rainmaker. You've got the buyer. You're ready to go. They're trying to solve their problem, and they did not tell you everything that you needed to know. Now, one of two things is going to happen. Either the seller is going to see what you're saying, and they're going to want to work with that offer, the $20,000 or $30,000 offer, or they're not. But either way, you're going to know what to do at this point. Let's say the seller says, you know what, whatever, I'm only going to go for $80,000. You tell them, you say, look, it's not going to be worth $80,000. Here's why. You know, there's no roof. There's no walls. There's, you know, the half the house is destroyed. It got ran over with a dump truck or whatever. You've got ammo now. You've got evidence to back up your price. Does that make sense? I can't stand when somebody is trying to haggle price with a seller and they don't when they're trying to haggle price with me and they don't have anything to go and they have nothing to deliver. They haven't proven that they can do anything yet. You don't want to do that. You don't want to call in when you're talking to a seller and say, well, it's not worth $80,000 in that area. You could say, look, I don't think it's worth it, you know, in that area, but I can try and move it and see what happens. We can do that. As long as, and then you immediately you get control of the property, you get that sign in the yard, you get the access to the property, because you're going to get buyers, you're going to get an excess of people calling you. Okay, so you write up an offer a day, write them all the time. Whenever you get a property, write, control it immediately, get that marketing in place. Okay, now when you talk to your seller, if they don't want to hear it, they don't want to work with you, fine. I don't know if this is going to make sense, but you keep the sign of the yard. You can tell the seller, I don't think this is going to make sense. I brought you an offer, and I just think about it, and we'll talk about it later. You know, this is what I think I can do right now. And the buyers, you know, even though with all these problems, they still want to come back with $30,000. I think that's accurate. Here's why. You give them the evidence. If they don't want to do it, fine. You still leave the sign in the yard. Okay, you keep that marketing going. You go back to your buyer. You tell him, look, I don't think we can do anything on this deal, but tell me what you want. A 7 to 10 day program. Makes sense. You mention the 7 to 10 day program. Mention the no qualifying. Get them in anything. Send that to the buyer your email. They've already seen your email. But also, you want to keep them updated with the list of properties. You want to go to the for rents if you have to. Find what they want. Because if they've got out of the property, they've got money. Okay. Same thing with investors. If the investors want the property, investors will tell you why the property's not this much, and why, if you're serious investors, your other investors are just tire kickers, and they're going to waste your time. But if it's your serious investor, ask them what's the price that makes sense. Find out why that price makes sense. Convey it to the seller. Most of the time, the seller will go for it because now you're not haggling price. You're creating it. You're putting a deal together. You're negotiating. Okay, because before it's just if you tell a seller, well, I don't think I could sell it for 80,000, you don't have anybody in place. But now when you go back and you say, look, I've got somebody in place right now, ready to go with 55 grand, what do you think? Okay, it makes a total difference. So now with your investors, you explain, that you have done your, according to what you've been told, here are the numbers and here's the situation with the property. If that's way off, you apologize beforehand. But you get it done nonetheless. Make sense? Okay, so with your buyers now, with your investors, you want to find out exactly what they want and get a counter offer in there, or get them out to the property. If that property is not going to work for them, if what I said, the seller lies to you, worst case scenario, and then the buyer, the seller doesn't want to negotiate with the buyer's counter offer, and that's not going to work, go back to your buyer, your investor, and find out exactly what they want. And say, well, what attracted you to this home? Was it the income? Okay. Was it the area? Okay. Was it the structure? What was it? Find out exactly what they wanted. Then go to your realtor that you've been working with, and tell them to pull up those listings that are match that criteria. Go to other investors and find out. There's so many ways to make this happen immediately once you know what your investor wants. Focus on what they want and why they want, why your buyer wants that. Okay? Now, the quickest way to get these deals is from your what's called basically it's something like referrals. Not really referrals, it comes from your list of deals, your list of resources, your buyers, sellers, investors, lenders, realtors, etc., appraisers, everybody that you're working with. Okay, these deals are going to come from these people constantly. Okay, because you've got other investors you're working with, and you've got other when you talk to an investor, you can ask them about a lease option home, you can vice versa. But the way to write offers a day and write them up all the time is to just go and just do that. Write up offers all the time. If you go to the for rent section, and I'm just there's so much here, I'm running out of time here. I just want to focus on just this. If you make just four calls to landlords a day. I'm gonna go out here and say you make 10 calls a day to landlords, 10, 15 calls a day to landlords. You send out those emails to for sale by owner people, or you just call them up. I wouldn't suggest calling them up, but if you do call them up, if you want to have fast, dramatic results here, call them up. Go to the place. I'm sorry, not don't go to their homes, but call them up. And immediately mention the standards. Say, I've got 14 buyers here, 14 pre-approved buyers here. What do you think? I've got, or you could say, I've got, about 70 buyers here that want to do a lease option on your home. You can get more money. You're not going to have to pay the 3% or any of the money to your fees. You're still going to be able to move into your next property. What do you think? Start five out like that. See what they say. If anyone agrees to it, great. And the for rent people are a lot more likely to agree to it. Okay, but you immediately get this process started, and as soon as somebody agrees to it, you write up an offer. There's no way if you make these calls out of the paper, you will not be able to pick up a home a day. On top of that, the relationships that I talked about with the realtors and getting all that stuff started as well, you'll be able to quickly put an offer together a day. Like I said, the key here is to write them from your house, fax it over, and get these things done. You're picking up a home a day. Even if you just have a verbal agreement on a home, that's okay. If they haven't had time to sign the paperwork, not a problem. You put it out on your list and you send it out. Okay? Because you've got the resources as the rainmaker, you have the resources to get somebody into that home. And if they don't want that home, it's not a problem. You just know they have money and you'll be able to find other buyers and grow your list on the marketing that you're going to do for that home. Make sense? Okay, so that's the way to quickly, without having to run an ad or anything like that, to quickly pick up homes. Also, you can just go to properties that are for lease in the MLS. There's hundreds of them, and just write up offers on that. Immediately write offers on properties where you're going to pick up a home a day. Because once you write that offer and you have it signed, you've essentially bought the home. You haven't taken ownership, but you have control, and you use that immediately to market to your list. Does that make sense? Okay, now before we wrap up this how to pick up a home a day, you've got to know how to analyze a home a day. Remember we talked about developing a website where you're going to get emails sent to you when sellers fill out the information. And the information you want there is right on that property profile form at the end of the book. You just have them fill out that information. It's very simple, very easy to use. It's not going to be very difficult for anybody to navigate through that information there. But you basically, any to write offers quickly and to be able to do this immediately, all you really want to know is how much the home is worth. Okay, how much they owe, and what they want to net. Okay. You also want to know if they, what their payments are, if they're behind payments and stuff like that. But you basically want to know how much the home is worth. Okay. What the value is, how much the home is worth, how much they own, what they want to net. Okay. Excuse me. For example, if the home's worth $100,000, they own 95 and they just want to break even. You know what type of deal to do. It's going to either be a subject to or a multiple mortgage, a land contract, something like that. But that's going to be a terms deal. Now, if the home's worth $100,000, they owe 50 and they just want 70, they want a net $20,000, you can do a cash offer. Okay? So if it's a terms or a terms deal or a full market value deal, you just you either if it's a full you can give them the full market value, but it's going to be on terms. And if it's not going to be if it's going to be a cash offer, it's going to be a deep discount at either 30%, it has to be 25, 30%. If they want their full market value and they want it now, the only way you're going to be able to work with them is by sending them a buyer and they're going to pay you half of the realtor's commission for that. Okay, so you can still work with those people. Just write it up, okay? Immediately write it up, and then when as soon as you try to move it, you're going to get a good idea of if that's what numbers that market is going to hold, what numbers you're going to be able to work with. Because once you write those offers up, pick those homes up, it's going to add to your list, okay? It's going to add to the homes you have available, and it's going to take you just a few minutes to do this. You're not going to waste any time, okay? Now, speaking of time, speaking of optimizing your business, let's move on to the last chapter in this audiobook. Chapter 6, the only two ways to take your business to the next level. Okay. In any business, there are so many different areas to focus on that it can seem overwhelming to figure out the best way for you to spend your time. Right now, I'm going to make this task much easier by showing you the only two areas of your business that you will always want to focus on. There's other areas as well, but these are the two main areas you want to focus on. And if you remember this, you'll be able to take your business as high as you can dream. Now, the two areas here, the two pressure points to realize here, the only things that are going to enable you to take your business to the next level, to do something you're not doing, is to either know more or to do more. Those are the two steps right there, very simple. You either have to know more or you have to do more. Think about anybody who's making more money than you. They either know more or they're doing more. Anybody that you're making more than, you're either doing more or you know more. Okay, now let's talk about the do more first, the activities, what you're actually doing. Anytime you do anything, anytime you implement any marketing or any model into your business, you want to make sure that there's a subtraction point. That's what I call a subtraction point. That means at some point you're going to be able to subtract yourself and have that business run on autopilot, or have that section of your business on autopilot. That's why I do a lot of email marketing, because you can subtract yourself. A lot of direct mail marketing, where you have, different things I talk about in my mentor program, where you can set your different aspects of your business up so it's on autopilot, so you don't have to do it. You don't have to do any of the follow-up stuff if that's done automatically. Okay, because by setting up those little instruments in your business, making those tweaks, these follow-ups are automatically going to happen. It's going to let people know about the standard. It's going to increase the people that want to work with you, increase the number of leads you're bringing into your business, and how you convert them. Okay, now that's a very important part of the business as well, is you want to have a systematic way to bring leads into your business. You want to have a way where you can get 40, 50 buyers, let's say, a week, or maybe 30, or maybe just 10. But if you're not spending time doing it, you can do it 10 times and get 100 buyers. Okay, so you want to have a subtraction point where you won't have to do it. And if, let's say, you run an ad and you know that you're going to get 30 buyers a week, now you have to have a process to find out which buyers you can get into homes, how quickly you can do that, and how you're going to be able to optimize a profit from excess, essentially. What that means, basically, is that you're going to take any leads that you're not working with, you're not able to make money with, and you're going to optimize them as well. So anytime you do something, anytime you're doing more, because doing more is not, you don't want to spend that much time on doing more, because you've only got X amount of hours in a day. Remember, your time is what's limited here. You want to work on minimizing your time. So anytime you're doing something, you want to be working on how that getting to that subtraction point where it can be done on autopilot and you don't have to do as much. This is why jobs are so horrible, because jobs never have a subtraction point. As long as you're at your job, there's no subtraction point. You can't back out and not do anything. Now, some would argue that you can wait till you're retired, and that, putting your 20 or 30 in, waiting till you're 65, and then getting a check that maybe might let you live comfortably in Mexico, is not a solid business plan, isn't a financial plan, isn't a subtraction point. A subtraction point means your business can, this part of your model can continue and grow without you having to be involved. Okay, so you don't want to focus on doing more, because ultimately what's going to enable you to have exponential growth is when you know more. Okay, that's the number one thing you want to focus on, your knowledge. I started this entire audiobook out by pointing out the knowledge and how the knowledge changes the questions you ask yourself, which changes your priorities, which changes what you do. They make a small tweak in your knowledge, and it makes a huge difference in what you do. For example, now that you know how to buy and sell and how to put a whole real estate business together, a whole model in place without having to leave your house, that changes the questions you're asking yourself, which changes your priorities, which ultimately changes what you do. Okay, now that's what you want to focus on, what you do and what you know. You want to do less and be able to optimize what is being done. Okay, so whenever you do anything, you want to go to the subtraction point. Where can you not be involved with whatever aspect of this business that is happening? Now, with what you know, you constantly want to increase your knowledge base because, like I said, those little tweaks can make a big difference. Now, with that said, I want to talk about my mentor program. Now, my mentor program is a much more involved program. The price you paid for this, a lot of times people ask if there's phone or email support. No, there's not. And the reason that is because it doesn't. I get between 300 and 500 emails a day. I have three phones, actually four. I don't use the fourth one. Three phones because I always run out of batteries. I need to constantly recharge a phone. And what I'm trying to convey here is that I'm pretty swamped. I'm pretty busy. And when I'm in the mentor program, I work with you one-on-one. We'll be on a very deep level and show you exactly how to implement this into your business, how to write the emails, how to create the standard, how to convey that, how to find these leads, how to optimize them, how to talk to these people, psychological triggers when dealing with people, NLP techniques to get people to work with you and get people to see the value, have people see the value in working with you. So it's a seamless process, and once you get this started, it happens just automatically, and you're able to become, a cash cow. You're able to build a cash cow, become a real estate money machine, build a real cash cow that's going to minimize your time and optimize what you get out. Now, the mentor program, my mentor program is a little different because there's a lot of programs out there that, as you can probably tell by now, I'm not your orthodox guru. I'm not even really an orthodox guru at all. I'm not a guru of any means. I'm never going to have an infomercial late night. I'm not going to do any of that stuff. And a lot of people are already referring to me as a guru, and I don't really feel comfortable being presented, in that position. I don't like that because I don't do this full time. I don't, my income is not dependent on this teaching, real estate teaching. I prefer to do what I'm doing right now, and that is, putting deals together. Now, what I'm doing in real estate is a little different. If you know my background, I was involved heavily in commodities, investing, IPOs, and stuff like that. And what I'm trying to do, my goal right now, what I spend most of my time trying to put together is a model where we can apply the IPO model from stocks and the financial industry into real estate. And it's going to be really amazing when it gets taken off, when it takes off. I really am excited about it. And it's creating the standard. Everything I've ever done, I try to create the standard. And in my mentor program, the way it's set up is that you can't. It's not just if you have the money, you join. No, that's not it. There's a qualifying process. We have to know that it's for you, and we talk through it, and we go through that process, and we really, kind of, I want to make sure that there's a certain type of person joins the program, that a certain type of person is allowed admission into the program, because I want everybody to be doing deals. I want everybody to be making things happen. Because when I pull out, and this is not, I don't spend much time talking about this because I haven't done it yet, but when I'm able to pull this IPO real estate model off, I want the people in my mentor program to help me out. Now, to be able, we can all make money together. Now, like I said, we have buying events where we get, 30 students in a room, they put together 50 deals. I mean, we do pretty wild things like that. We've created a standard on its own with the mentor program. Now, what I'm basically, what the this whole process of, buying this program, going through this information is qualifying you and me. By now, whether you know for a fact that you're not going to find information like this anywhere else. You know how revolutionary, how insightful, and the number one compliment, the number one thing I hear, even with when people have a problem or they, when I hear any complaint or anything, the number one word I hear used is brilliant. Now, I'm not brilliant, truthfully. That's flattering, but that's not the case. I'm just able to apply, models from concepts from different industries and historical concepts that have made billions to real estate and to what you're trying to accomplish right now. And I'm not what I think the biggest hurdle that people have is that getting started, they don't know which steps to take and what to make happen. And I don't envy that position at all, because it's really hard to find a quality person that's going to walk you through the process. Now, you look at the cost of my mentor program, thousands and thousands of dollars. It's pretty expensive. I can see why somebody would say that. But on the other hand, look at all the numbers we've been talking about. Look at all the numbers that are in the that I've been going over with you right now. What you're going to pay me is pennies compared to what you're going to make back. Now, like I said, this isn't some strong pitch to tell you this is the best thing to do. No, because you need to have a mentor. You need to have somebody who's going to walk you through this process. Now, if you can find somebody else, great. Go with that. That's not a problem. You need to find somebody, though. Even if it's not me, you have to find somebody that's going to walk you through this process. Now, the money you pay me, the money that you're going to invest in yourself, essentially, that I will make, is pennies compared to what you'll be able to make when you go out and put just one deal together. Now, the reason why I hear this all the time, why not just do it for free if you're so gung-ho about helping people, why not do it for free? Well, I essentially am doing it for free because the money you pay me, if I put that time, you think about the coaching calls, the conference calls, and whatnot that are all included in the program. I mean, that's hours of information. Look how much time it took to put this information that you have together right now. I mean, think about the time it took to do that. I could have put a deal together easily. And that's why there's not a lot of phone support or not a lot of emails, no one-on-one support with what you have right now, because that wouldn't make sense. I would be losing money at that point. And if you're really serious about getting started, you would definitely join not necessarily my program, but a mentor program. Now, I don't want to go over everything that's on the website there. It's zerodowncashcow.com, by the way. It's ZeroDown as in Nancy, CashCow.com. But you can check that out, and you'll really get a good idea if you know if it's for you or not. The information I've covered here is nothing. This is just the tip of the iceberg of what I show you in the mentor program. I walk you through the process, like I said, one-on-one. We have individual calls and conference calls. Any question you ever have over the entire term of the mentor program is answered there immediately. Now, I haven't decided yet if I'm going to expand the time of the program, but it's going to be months and months of one-on-one support where I walk you through every step of the process to make this happen. Now, what I would ask you to do, if you're serious about this, is not to, you don't just go and pay for it, and if you can afford it, we go from there. That's not the way it works. You have to apply for it, and there's a process where we try to see if it makes sense for you. But I think ultimately, you already know. Right now, you know if it's for you or not. You know if you're going to go that way or not. I mean, you take the price you're going to pay for the mentor program, the investment you're going to make there. You take the money you'd make on just one deal versus the mistakes you could possibly make on just one deal. Think about all the deals around you right now, the money you're losing. You've already lost money in the last 1 week, the last 7 to 10 days, than you'll ever pay me by not implementing this stuff, by not knowing the stuff that I'm talking about, by not being able to show this stuff. Or not being able to show this information, to do it justice and to implement this stuff into your business. The whole point of this, and if you're in real estate right now, that the amount of time that I would save you just by implementing just one of these ideas into your business would mean a literal fortune to you. Several times what you paid. The point here I'm making is that there's no value, and I never hear this, there's no question of the value of what you're paying. There's no question about that, because you'd make that back on any one deal, and I literally guarantee that you'd make that back as long as you follow through. But the real question here is, do you want to take it to the next level? That's the real question here. I put a deadline on everything because I think deadlines move people. And whenever I talk, whenever somebody calls me about the mentor program, whenever we have an application in and we talk about it, it is that night at midnight that you have to decide. And if you don't, I charge your card back. I don't even want your money at that point, because you have to make a decision. You have to follow through and make it happen. I would rather lose money from people not joining the program or turning people away or rejecting. Rejecting is kind of a harsh word, but not allowing everyone that wants to join, that has the money, not allowing everyone to join. I'd rather lose money doing that, than allow the wrong people to join the group, because the group, I want to create a certain energy, this positive aura in the entire group, and that is my goal with everything I do, and that is what I'm trying to make happen with the real estate, as far as, being able to implement these strategies, ideas into your business and what you're trying to accomplish. Like I said, the way this works is that we walk you through every process, increase your knowledge with what you're doing, and we can put deals together immediately. If you look at the amount of money you've lost, it should disgust you. And you can go out, and like I said, you can find any mentor, you can find anybody that's going to make this happen. You can call investors out of the paper and see which ones will work with you. The problem is that you're not going to be able to minimize your time. The whole point here is that you want to minimize your time. You don't want to put much time into this cash cow, because real estate may be your passion, but I think you have a much deeper passion, something else that you want to do. And the real estate will allow you to do that, because you have to buy back your time in our society. You have to buy it back. It's not going to be cheap. You have to buy it back. The point here I'm making is that you're going to spend several times what my mentor program costs. You are going to spend that money. It is going to cost you several times that. And you will never find that much information from the inventor, the creator of every system, every process in the program for the price that it is right now. So, with that said, I'd ask you to take a serious look and see where you want to take your business. And, if you want to apply for that, let us know, and we'll go from there. Again, the website is zerodowncashcow.com, ZeroDownCashCow.com. Now, in closing, I'd really like to thank you for your time. Hopefully we've been able to, and we've gone over so much information here. I know that I kind of went over it pretty quickly, but you can go back and listen to it again and again. And until next time, I really am appreciative, and hopefully we can build something truly, truly magnificent together. I wish you the best. Take care.